Okay, well, I would like to. We are now live, and I would like to welcome everyone to the committee and call the first meeting of the House of Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order. We have a rule in which we are abiding by, and of course, I printed it out, but it is not okay. In accordance to House Rule 10.01. Thank you very much for bearing with me during that. I am so pleased to have everyone here today. We're going to start by taking our committee legislative assistant, Jenna Mouse. Correct? I'm saying that correctly, right? We're new together. And we will go through a roll, and then everyone, if they can just say their name and present, that would be wonderful. Legislative Assistant Mouse, if you could begin. Thank you.
Chair Bernardi.
Bernardi present.
Vice Chair Christensen.
Christensen present.
Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill present.
Representative Albright.
Albright present.
Representative Daniels.
Daniels present.
Representative Erickson.
Erickson present.
Representative Hansen.
Hansen present.
Representative Heinzman.
Heinzman present.
Representative Howard.
Howard present.
Representative Keeler.
Keeler present.
Representative Cleborne.
Cleborne present.
Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick present.
Representative Kreisha.
I believe Representative Kreisha is excused.
Okay. Representative Mason.
Mason present.
Representative Meekland.
Meekland present.
Representative Noor.
Noor present.
Representative Sandell.
Sandell present.
Representative Sandsted.
Sandsted present.
And Representative Thompson.
Representative Thompson present. Did you hear me? Thompson present.
Ms. Mouse, did you get that Representative Thompson is present?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome members. It's an exciting first day of our Higher Education Committee. It's exciting to be here with so many new faces. Last year, we have, I think, 3 returning members to our committee. So it's gonna be a lot of people learning new information, and then welcoming people that have served before in the past. I know Representative O'Neill has been a vice chair of this committee before, and I know also Representative Albright, and I'm not sure, and Representative Daniels, and I shouldn't have started calling out people because I may have missed someone. But we will talk about that as we move through. Higher Education Committee, I know all of us probably on here value education and know the importance of it. And being able to serve on this committee truly is an honor to help the students of our state. In education, we know that we get such a good return on our investment, and higher education is one of the shortest turnarounds in education because it can range from a certification to all the way to like a doctorate degree. So in a short period of time, people can be moving on to their lives and being more prosperous and helping our state. So thank you for being here. The fun part about being on the Higher Education Committee, I don't know if fun is the right word, but it's a breath of fresh air, is because higher education tends to be less partisan, and that we have been able to work together across party lines to help the students of our state. One great example of that is when the Argosy School closed down and the students were in crisis. They weren't, until we intervened, they weren't being able to finish their degrees. They were burdened with a lot of financial expenses, and we worked across party lines, and we listened to the student stories. We found out what their needs were, and we took action. I don't think that day, if anyone was there, that there was a dry eye in the hearing room to hear their stories. And we've been working on that for over 2 years now. Each year we progress, we add more things to help safeguard our students so this doesn't happen to students again in our state. And I want to thank everybody who has worked on that, and I look forward to continuing that work together. And then also one of the things that they probably did it before too, but one of the things I really wanted to emphasize when I became the chair of this committee is really hearing the student voice. So bringing our students to the table, and I call it the tables of power. We don't really realize that we do have this power, and to be able to hear the voices of our students, to have them share their challenges and their dreams with us is very important. So I'm very pleased that our students have been engaged in our committee as much as they have been, and we will continue that role. And then we just want to make sure that everybody's voice is heard and that people from all backgrounds have a voice at our table. And so we try to be intentional about that as well. So one of the things I like to start with, and let's try to work on this all the way through session, it's fun to build relationships together. We do a lot of hard work around here, and being able to develop relationships with each other helps us do our work better and helps make the work actually more enjoyable. I do believe, you know, having these shared experience and goals throughout session will make us a more effective committee team, and we will continue to get to know each other, background, experiences, goals throughout the year. Our first meeting, we are going to set aside a time for our members and our staff to share their own personal experiences with higher education. I have asked each committee member and staff to come prepared today to reflect on how higher education has impacted themselves, their families, or they can share about how it's impacted their communities. Last year when we did this, it was very moving, and it really it was wonderful to see how we had different journeys and had similar journeys as we shared our stories. We will start by our committee staff to introduce themselves. We have an amazing staff, and we will then call on each committee member to do the same. And what I would like to ask is each person share their name, their district, the role that they have on the committee, and along with the personal experience that I asked. I would really encourage people to spend I know someone didn't really like want to share their story that much because they don't like to talk publicly, and I want to respect that. So you know, you're not forced to do this, and you don't have, it would be great if people spent with it, like 2 to 3 minutes to share their story. I won't cut you off until probably 4 to 5 minutes. But what I realized is last year when people are concise and they share their story, it really is very interesting, and versus someone going on for 20 minutes and ruining the time for someone else. So I really would encourage members to be succinct and to share their stories. And I will monitor the time, and if it goes on a little bit longer that we won't allow other members to be able to do staff members, then I will ask you to wrap up. So with that, I don't know if I should give the, I'm gonna start with staff, and they've done it before. So they're gonna have had already practice on this. So we are going to start with our house researcher, Nathan Hopkins.
Hi, everyone. Madam Chair and members, my name is Nathan Hopkins. I'm with the House Research Department, a nonpartisan legislative analyst. I've been with House Research since 2017, and I've been staffing higher ed ever since I started. My story with higher education, I was a first-generation college student. Higher education was what brought me to Minnesota originally. From St. Louis, Missouri. I came to Minnesota to attend St. Olaf College, and that's where I met my spouse now, and that's where I met some of my best friends. So that had an enormous impact on my life. After college, I got a master's degree in philosophy from Loyola University in Chicago, and then I decided to go to law school at Northwestern University in Chicago. So a lot of experience there with higher ed and experience in the legislature over the past 3 or 4 years. So I'm happy to be back and happy to be staffing this committee again and look forward to working with you all. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with me at any time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. And then next we will have Mr. Ken Savory go, our finance analyst.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. As the Chair said, my name is Ken Savory. I am the nonpartisan fiscal analyst for the Higher Ed Committee this year. I've been at the legislature approximately 7 years, and in all those 7 years, I've always staffed higher education, so this is a familiar topic to me. I'm originally from the East Coast and grew up in the kind of Southern Connecticut, New York City border area, and attended the University of Maine for my undergraduate degree in public finance, and also received a master's degree there in public administration, and made my way to Minnesota via the Humphrey School of Public Affairs and received an additional master's degree in public policy, where I met my spouse, and where we've resided in the Richfield, Minneapolis area kind of ever since. I would say that I have the unique experience of being a student athlete in college. I ran track at the University of Maine, and I'm very heavily involved with the alumni group there, kind of from across the country. So in terms of higher experience, it's kind of a really good social connection there, as well as with Maine being a place that I really love and kind of care about, and as well as kind of my great higher education experience here in Minnesota. As to echo Nathan's thoughts, as members have questions and work through the committee process and develop bills, feel free to reach out. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them and walk you through the process. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next person is Mr. Bennett Smith from the DFL Research.
Hello, my name is Bennett Smith, and I am the higher ed researcher for the House DFL Caucus. This is my second biennium working on higher ed, and I was a poli-sci major that graduated from the University of Minnesota Morris, which is just down the road from where I grew up in Donley, Minnesota. And I took a little bit of a tour of the University of Minnesota. I started out at the University of Minnesota Crookston as a horticulture major, and I was going to go finish that degree in St. Paul after my first year there, and making a semester pit stop in Morris to take some general courses, I discovered that I loved the liberal arts and politics and policy, and it was a great place to go to school and be able to focus on things that interested me from my ag background, like food justice and rural community economic issues. And it just all came together. So I got that degree, and I wouldn't be here if I hadn't. And it's been a joy to work on this committee, and I look forward to another great year.
Thank you very much. And we have with us next Ms. Callie Lehman from GOP Research.
Hello, my name is Callie Lehman. I'm the GOP researcher for this committee. I live in District 46B, and my experience with higher education, I went to UW-Madison for my undergrad with a double major in poli-sci and economics, and then I went to law school at the University of St. Thomas School of Law here in Minnesota, and through connections I made in law school, it brought me to the House and a job that I really enjoy, so. Again, look forward to working on the Higher Education Committee this session.
Thank you very much. And then we have Ms. Jenna Mouse, who is our new committee legislative assistant, and welcome to our committee.
Thank you, and hi everyone. So my name is Jenna Mouse. I'm the committee legislative assistant for higher ed. I've worked at the House for the legislature for about 3 years, but this is my first year on higher ed. And I went to the College of St. Benedict and have a bachelor's in political science and peace and conflict studies. And higher ed is super important to me because my 4 years of higher education helped shape really who I am as a person today. And my higher education opened up more doors than I ever thought possible. And because of that, I was able to work abroad, study abroad, also complete a Fulbright in Malaysia. So it was just the most amazing 4 years and led me pretty much ultimately here to the house. So I'm very excited to be working with you all.
Well, thank you very much. And Jenna, when you shared your story, it reminded me of the question that I really wanted to make sure that people focused on is when they share their story, how did it make a difference in you and your family's life? So if there's a way you can please incorporate that into your story, that would be awesome. Thank you. And we have our committee administrator, Mr. Sean Herring, next.
Yeah, I think when we did this question last time, I was able to talk about, kind of part of the way this has affected me. I know my mother went back when I was in elementary school to start a new career and was able to go to the University of Minnesota with the Master Gardening Program. And she's had a small business that has been running for now 20 years. Because of that, I graduated from the University of Minnesota and that had a huge impact on me. Obviously, because I'm here with this committee doing a job that I love and I graduated with political science. But the other piece that I don't talk about a lot and I want to talk about today for this question is kind of the other way that our higher education institution helped me out when I was first going to college. I actually went to college in Florida. At Eckerd College, it's a tiny liberal arts school. My first year, or my first month of college, I actually noticed a little spot on my head where I had gone bald. It was about the size of a dime. And when I started going around and trying to find out what was going on, I found out I had a disease called alopecia. And I had alopecia areata, which was, for those of you that don't know, it's little spots on your head that start to become bald. By the time I got to midterms, I had lost my eyebrows, my facial hair, everything. And so, for an 18-year-old kid, first year in college, that was incredibly difficult. And I was in Florida. I didn't know anybody. This was my first time away from home. And there were really no doctors there that could help me. People would tell me, hey, this is what happens with this disease, but there's not a lot that we can do. And as I was coming back home for my second year to re-enroll in the University of Minnesota, one of my doctors there emailed me and said, hey, you're going back to Minnesota. The world's leading expert on your disease is at the University of Minnesota. You should contact her. And for me, the one of the hardest things about my disease was that it doesn't hurt your overall health, but there are mental health issues with that. There's not a pill you can take that makes you not dread walking into class the first time when you've shaved your head. There's not a pamphlet they give you that prepares you for coming home for the first time and seeing your mom's heartbreak when she sees you and you look sick. But I got to come here and I got to work with Dr. Maria Hordinsky at the University of Minnesota. She was not just an expert, she was the world's leading expert on my disease. And being able to tell my parents that not only someone who could help me, but the person on this planet who was best prepared to help me was a 10-minute bus ride away from my apartment. Not only was it an incredibly comforting thing for me, but it was a comforting thing for my family too. So I know we talk a lot about higher ed and we are rightfully really student focused, but I know my experience, when I think about like the most important experience for me, it was being able to come here and work with a person who was an expert on my condition and who really helped me get through a really challenging, difficult, stressful time in my life. And I know that's not just the University of Minnesota, right? Like working on this committee, one of the great things is I get to meet Dr. Hortinsky's all over the state, working with Minn State, the U of M, the private colleges, the tribal colleges, who are not just teaching kids, but they make an impact in their community that we don't always see here. And so that's the kind of final part of my story that I wasn't really comfortable sharing last time, but thank you for listening to me here.
Thank you very much. And then we're going to move into our representatives and definitely you rose to the occasion in sharing how it impacted your life. So thank you for sharing that. I would like to go to Representative, our Vice Chair, and welcome to becoming our Vice Chair this year, Representative Christensen, Vice Chair Christensen. If you would like to go next, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Connie, and thanks, everyone. I'm thrilled to be the Vice Chair on this committee, and we have a great group, so I'm excited to work with everyone. Well, the story of higher education for me, first of all, I'll tell you that my mother didn't go through, she went through the ninth grade. But she is also, I've never met anyone in my life who read less than her. My mother taught me a love of books. My father was a pipe fitter, blue collar worker. And so when I graduated from high school in 1973, I didn't really have any college goals. So when I became 35 years old, I was a single mother at that time. I thought, okay, I've done some great things. I'd loved my jobs. I'd worked in art galleries. I'd sold real estate. And so I was 35 years old and talking with a friend and said, you know, if I went for a degree now, I'd be 40 when I graduated. And she just looked at me and said, well, you'll be 40 anyway. I went to school. I went to the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and I became a teacher. And later I ended up getting my master's degree in education. So, and that changed not only just my, you know, self-reliance and the financial burden that I carried just being a single mom without a decent paying job, but it opened up a whole new world of I realized how curious of a person I am. I realized that I loved delving in and finding answers and solutions to things. So then I became a teacher, and another way that higher education in this, you know, in that, not imagine me in a high school or a junior high classroom teaching English. And I realized, and I want to bring this up because we're all talking about our four-year educations, that higher education means many things. And it's not just a four-year degree. And so I don't want us to forget all those kids that I met in those classrooms that would raise their hand like this and say, yes, I'm going to a four-year college because that's what everyone did, when they wanted to go to a trade school and learn how to fix snowmobiles. So I hope we can bring that, you know, bring all of us together in realizing that higher education means many things to many different people, and it means much more than just a salary. So that's a little preachy, I know, but I always felt for those kids that because I came from a suburb, you know, pretty privileged suburb, that never quite felt, and they told me this in their writing, like they met the muster, because they really weren't that interested in college, or their parents weren't that interested in sending them to college. So I hope we can work on that in this committee. Then my daughter also has had a very unique, bumpy ride through college. She's just finishing up an elementary school degree at 41 years old. And now I have a grandson who is at Century College looking into a cybersecurity degree. And I have a sophomore in high school, too, who is going to be looking at some sort of post-secondary education. So I hope we can keep our eyes wide open and promote more than just four-year colleges, because I do agree every single one of those paths can be life-changing. I also want to mention not just academics, but the social-emotional growth that happens with education as as an adult. So I'm excited to be here with everyone. Thanks for hearing my story, and I'm excited to hear yours. Thanks.
Thank you. And now we're going to go to our lead Republican on the committee, Representative O'Neill. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair and members. So I'm Representative Marion O'Neill. My district is 29B, which is Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, and four townships. And I actually grew up in northern Minnesota, not too far from Bemidji. My brother is on the committee. Representative Daniels is my brother. So the two of us grew up in northern Minnesota. And our family had a multitude of businesses. We had a hobby farm, we had a manufacturing facility, we had Polaris and Suzuki retail, and my father was also a real estate agent and a landlord. So there was a lot going on in our household. And neither of my parents had any higher education, but my mother, both of them actually were incredibly, incredibly brilliant. And my mother was very good with numbers, and my dad was an inventor and very spatial. So he could invent things and build things and make things and sell things and all of that. I ended up going to Bemidji State University, which was just down the road. I basically grew up in Bemidji. We were just outside of Bemidji. And I started off in the pre-med program. I graduated second in high school, and I wanted to be a nurse. And then when I went to enroll, they're like, no, you need to go into pre-med. You need to be a doctor. They looked at my grades. And so I started in pre-med, and I did about a year of that. And it just didn't quite fit, I think, of what I wanted to do. I would have one student after another, one friend after another, come into my dorm room, sit down on my bed, and just spill out their guts to me. They would just tell me their entire life story, and they would tell me their sorrows and their pains and their agonies. And then they would stop and they'd say, I have never told anybody that in my entire life. And after that happened a dozen times, I said, you know what, maybe instead of being a doctor and being in school for 12 years, maybe I should be a therapist or a counselor. And so I actually changed my undergrad to the most counseling I could get at Bemidji State, which was the applied psychology program with a minor in chemical dependency. And for me, that was life-changing. In fact, I think I use it every day here. It's very relational. It really helps with conflict. It helps with being able to negotiate things and do things in a very respectful way, and to listen carefully, listen more than I speak. I tend to be very deep in my thoughts and study quite a bit, and that comes from that. But once I got my undergrad at Bemidji State, that wasn't enough for me. And so I ended up going out to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I enrolled in Regent University. So I actually have my master's degree right there by happenstance, and got a master's degree in community counseling with an emphasis in marriage and family therapy. So that was amazing. I absolutely loved every minute of it. Some of the things I've done with the degree is I ended up working at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, which of course does chemical dependency treatment inpatient primarily. And that was just an amazing, amazing place to work. I am so honored to be on the committee. One thing that I think that we also need to bring that's important to my district is an overall focus on not just the four-year degree or the master's degree or PhD, but also, like our vice chair said, the trades, two-year colleges, tech schools. That is equally important. And I have so many people in my district that have technical school education. They're plumbers, electricians, welders, they're carpenters. They make a great living. They're 49ers. These are folks that we need desperately, and we need to respect them, most importantly. And I think the saddest thing for me is to hear any kind of disparaging remark of a blue-collar worker. I owned a tile setting company, so I was one of the few women legislators that owned a construction company. And it's really heartbreaking for me to hear any kind of put down of someone that's in the trades. And so I'm here to not only, you know, be excited about getting a bachelor's degree or master's degree, but more importantly, that that is a fit, whether it's technical school, trade school. My daughter is an RTR. She just graduated as a radiologist technician with a two-year degree from Dunwoody, and is doing amazing work in the middle of this COVID crisis. So we need everybody, we need all hands on deck. And I think we need to respect everybody's choice. And most importantly, that choice needs to fit their personality and their lifestyle and what's interesting to them. So I think that is the balance that we really need to bring to the higher education committee.
Thank you very much. I just love learning about people. So this is amazing. Thank you for sharing your stories. We are going to go on to Representative Albright next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tony Albright. I live in Prior Lake. I represent District 55B, which includes Prior Lake, Jordan, and several of the townships in Scott County. My role on this committee, as the chair has invited, I think is due diligence from a financial perspective. I did spend 25 years in the financial services perspective. And so I'm one of those on this committee that probably will take the deep dive into the minutiae of the ledgers with the green eye shade on. We have an obligation as fiduciaries to review where the dollars are spent. And the reason that is imperative, in my opinion, is as has been said, I think Representative Christensen said it best, you know, education means many, many things. And it means many things to many different people. But it's also going to need to mean something very different going forward. Higher education is going through what I believe is a transformation. I think COVID-19 and the effects that it has had on distance learning and on the vocations and the career paths that people have reviewed and undertaken is certainly going through a transformational process right now. And much like has been said before, a four-year degree isn't necessary to accomplish the goals that you have for your life or your career, as has been alluded to just recently by some of the titans in the tech industry, Musk and folks from Dell and Apple. They're actually looking at folks with or without any type of a degree. What they're really looking for is imagination and critical thinking. And I think that's what higher ed is really called to do. We need to be looking like Wayne Gretzky, looking to see where the puck is going to be, not where it's now. And I think that is incumbent upon this committee to start thinking in terms of what does the pipeline look like as a workforce development supplier to the businesses and in industries in Minnesota? What are they needing? Not today, not just today, but in 20 years from now. And it's a large undertaking. My background in education is I went to a two-year college at Golden Valley Lutheran College for 2 years. And then I transferred up to Morehead State, where I graduated with a degree in business administration with a focus on finance and marketing. That molded me in a lot of different ways, and life and time is too short to really explain all of them. But I do think that higher ed really is responsible in the lives of every person here, whether they just take away the teaching that goes with that, or the mentorship and the mentors that come out of that. It fosters growth, both individually and in the communities that we all serve. But it's also a forum for the exchange of ideas. And I would hope that, you know, we could also promote through this committee and through the effects that we have on legislation to help foster that open and civil dialogue between all parties to a conversation, whether they be on campus, on a social media platform, or in the coffee shops where we all congregate to discuss and debate the issues of the day. I'm very much looking forward to the next 2 years, and I contemplate and look forward to much success coming out of our efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, Representative Daniels, how has higher education impacted you or your family's life, or you could do your community if you prefer that? Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Always a good committee to be on. This will be my seventh year in higher ed, and when they put me on higher ed in 2015, I was a little confused because my extensive experience in higher ed was one semester at Bemidji Tech for small business management. And that was after I was running what Marion referred to as our Suzuki Polaris business. I started running that when I was 19. And I think it was 3 years later, I went to Bemidji Tech just to see if I was doing things right. It was kind of fun. It was a learning experience. And so I kind of learned a blue collar way. Our business was in Clearwater County, the poorest state in the county. We were selling high-end merchandise to about 50% of the people who were either on welfare or some type of assistance. So selling a, you know, a higher-priced toy to people there was a task that nobody thought we could do. But I just saw the opportunities there, even though the business was losing quite a bit of money before I started. It didn't take a lot of didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how to fix some of those things. And within a 2-year period, I managed to put it from severely in the red to comfortably in the black, and kept that going for about 5-6 years. And so that was kind of my college experience. But the proudest thing I am of was my wife went to back to college to finish her last year. Last 3 years. Middle age. She was 32 when she went back to college and graduated. 33 and graduated. She was 36. And so our four children, we've got an oldest daughter and three boys. All four of them went to either a 4-year college or a 2-year tech degree. And happy to say they all landed jobs in their field. My daughter was working for the HR department down in Destin, Florida, and that's where she met her future husband. And then my oldest son went to the deaf school, and then I'm going to Wilmer Tech to get a welding certificate, welding degree, and he's been extremely successful. He's been promoted a number of times at Foldcraft and Kenyon, and he now oversees 4 different departments. And his best friend from high school, who is also deaf, about 2 years ago, they hired him as well. So it's kind of a unique thing. They can have be on other ends of the building pretty much, and they can have a conversation back and forth. And my middle son is a mechanical engineer, started with Boston Scientific. He didn't like the size of it. It wasn't kind of what he was looking for, so it didn't fit him real well. And now he's working for Nanon, which is a privately owned company. They do the, they just invented about a year ago, the blood pulse thing for your finger. So it'll not measure just your blood pressure, but your blood pulse. So that company has just been really skyrocketing. And then my youngest son went to Stout and picked up a degree in studio arts. But because of the lack of jobs in that field, he's right now in Eugene, Oregon, doing blue-collar work of working for a cement contractor and getting very physically fit. So he didn't get a chance to use his degree. But anyway, I'm just happy my family all went through the experience, and they all have some good-paying jobs. And like a number of people have mentioned today, it's not just about the 4-year degree. If you can get a job that you enjoy, whether it be a 2-year college degree or a 4-year college degree, that's what it's all about. My youngest son's best friend went to a 4-year degree for accounting, and I didn't see him for 4 or 5 years. And also I bumped into him, and he was a mechanic at the co-op, our local co-op. And I said, Brian, what are you doing here? You went to 4 years of college. Said, yeah, but I really didn't like that. So that's would be nice to catch these kids before they spend $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 to go to school and not, you know, like what they do. So that's kind of my goal, is to get the kids the jobs that they like and that they can make a good living at. And thank you for allowing me to be back on the committee.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. Our next person is Representative Erickson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Sandra Erickson. I represent House District 15A and live near Princeton, Minnesota. I'm a North Dakota girl and attended Concordia College in Moorhead, graduated in 1964, 30 years after my mother graduated from a 2-year college. Became a teacher. So my career was in teaching. I majored in English and journalism. And what I want to instill in our children
in our young people, I guess I'm out of the K-12 realm right now in this committee, is that lifelong learning is so important. And so I have been a student in every decade except the 2000s and the one we're in now. In the late 60s, after I began my teaching career, I launched off into journalism. I was a Wall Street newspaper fund fellow at the University of Minnesota and loved that. Then I went on to St. Cloud State University, which is not far from Princeton, and studied courses in reading, always trying to improve my skills for my classroom students and instilling in them, new techniques, new ways to learn and to enjoy education. Then in the 70s, I launched into some more specific courses in teaching English as well as journalism. I attended North Dakota State University, which had some great reading programs. Also Bethel University was Bethel College then. Also St. Thomas, where I took a teacher training. And ultimately, UCLA, where I studied under Dr. Madeline Hunter and learned her method of delivery in education, and just loved her definition of teaching and how that is, hundreds of decisions by a teacher. Every lesson that we present, teachers are decision makers, and that stayed with me. So, I want our young people to know that whatever you pursue, think of always improving yourself by finding coursework or a skills training, something that can bring you closer to what you love and what you know you do well and how you can help people. So I think with that said, I'll end my little review of myself and offer it to someone else. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Next, we'll be welcome Jess Hansen to the committee, and look forward to her story.
Chair Bernardi, my name is Jess Hansen. I represent District 56A, which covers all of the city of Savage and the northwest part of Burnsville. My journey to higher education is unique. It's different than what I think we hear a lot about in the legislature. I dropped out of high school when I was just 15 years old. And I stayed out of high school for a few years. When I was 17, I got pregnant. I went back to high school with a baby, and I ended up making up my 2.5 years of high school in less than a year at an alternative school in Dakota County. And that gave me the skills that I needed to not just get a diploma, but it put me into a college environment. I come from a very long line of blue-collar workers. My great-grandfather owned a business here in the district. My grandparents were UFCW. My grandma's a UFCW employee, and my grandpa's a carpenter. My dad's a Teamster. My mom's a bus driver. College wasn't something in my future. It wasn't something we talked about. The idea of applying credits, paying for it, was not something I had ever been exposed to. But when I got the opportunity to go back to high school, the program was hosted at DCTC, the Dakota County Technical College. And just being in that college environment gave me an opportunity to see how kids not much older than me were navigating the system. I ran into people in the hallways who were also teen moms. I had a counselor there who said, if you can work in this environment in the high school part of this building, you can make it in the college environment. And so I immediately, after graduating high school, I enrolled at Rasmussen for a business degree, and I tried to do that while I was juggling 2 full-time jobs and a brand new baby all by myself. As you can imagine, that didn't last long. It got really hard, and I ended up having to work more at my jobs, and so I dropped out of college when I was about 21 years old. And I didn't think I'd ever go back. I thought that was the end of my college journey. I'd tried something new that my family had never done, and I just figured it wasn't for me. Well, I have a good job that I secured when I was 19 years old, and I knew I wanted to kind of go up and get promoted there, so I knew I needed to do something different. And so I decided to go back to college when I was 25 with 2 young kids. And that opportunity was, again, not something I was doing. I was still waiting tables full time while working a full time day job and raising kids. And I enrolled at the University of Northwestern St. Paul after encountering their admissions counselors in some faith-based settings. And I was there, I did all my generals and all of that. And then I took a Psych 101 class. And much like Representative O'Neill said, I fell in love with the program. I fell in love with the type of work that was. It helped me understand the trauma I had experienced as a child who grew up in poverty. It helped me understand why some things were harder for me than it was for my peers. And it helped me grow an appreciation for the helping field in general. As I got into my third year at University of Northwestern St. Paul, I learned about social work and decided that counseling wasn't for me, but I wanted to work with my community. And so I switched my third year and went to St. Catherine University, where I finished my bachelor's in science degree in social work. Immediately after that, I rolled into a graduate program. I was supposed to be taking my LSATs for law school the day that I decided I was going to meet with the admissions counselor for the MAPL program at Metropolitan State University. And when I took that program, I learned that this is where I knew I loved politics. This was the kind of work I wanted to get into. And I am still a college student, so I'm still wrapping up that degree. I have one class left to take. I decided to run for office instead of finishing that up, and so I'll be finishing that up. And so college is very important to me. It has given me an opportunity to see what my potential can be, the work that I can do, and to be an adult learner in this. I think it's important to also say that, again, as a single mom, I'm coming out of college now with $80,000 of school loans. And so on a government salary, I'll be making $800 a month payments on my student loans beginning in just a few months. And so those are some of the things that are really important to me that we talk about, is that the pathways to college aren't always clear. A lot of people don't know how to get into these settings. And so I'm very excited to be on this committee. I'm very excited to hear the stories of students and everybody on this committee, and continue to do the work we need to make sure this is a world-class education system from cradle to college here in Minnesota. So thank you everybody for having me.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Now we're going to move on to Representative Heitzman, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad to be on the committee. I've missed one term. I had previously served on the committee for two terms starting in 2015. And glad to be back. I start out by mentioning I represent the Brainerd Lakes area. That's smack dab in the center of the state, District 10A. And my wife, Carrie, and I have been married for 21 years. It'll be 22 this coming summer. And we have six kids, one of which has just recently graduated from our local mid-state campus, that's Central Lakes College, with his AA, and was able to do that with zero debt because of a little-known program, which shocks me. And Chair Bernardi, we've discussed this on numerous occasions, but PSEO, terrific option for kids. CIS, College in the Schools, another terrific option for kids, little-known in many cases. What amazing opportunity. Now that my oldest son has graduated his AA, considering kind of what his next steps are, I have two daughters now that are also at that same campus and earning their degrees as junior and seniors. So super, super terrific opportunity for kids. So obviously going to be a focus for me on this committee, making sure that we're doing absolutely everything we can to continue to develop PSEO and CIS for juniors and seniors in what otherwise have normally been just a high school opportunity, now in Minnesota, and for decades, in fact, an option here. So like to continue to talk about no other issues, and we'll bring those up, I'm sure, and get to visit about what we can do to not just throw more money at some of the challenges that we face in higher ed, but also find solutions for cost savings. So often in government, we are very, very quick to embrace the next program without a real cost benefit of what we're getting for those dollars. Huge investment being made, both at the University of Minnesota campuses and then also on in-state. And we've got a lot on our plate, Madam Chair, a lot of subject areas to look very closely at. We're unfortunately looking at a deficit. Hopefully, MinState and University of Minnesota are going to be coming back to this committee, not just with requests, but also some troubleshooting and some solutions to try to help us, as we're likely looking at a negative target. So those are some of the tough issues I think we're going to be grappling with and hopefully finding solutions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now, our next person is Representative Howard, and I look forward to hearing about how higher ed has impacted you and your family's life, or you can talk about your community if you'd prefer. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll talk a little bit about both. My father was the first person in his family to attend college, and growing up, I heard a lot about that from him and my grandparents as a source of pride. And so, you know, it was instilled in me that just the benefits of higher education. I attended Augsburg College, and it's really, I'm here because of that experience. It's where I sort of found my passion for politics and government service, and am so grateful for that experience. My community in Richfield and East Bloomington, there's a lot of young people in our community that might not see higher education as a path for them. That's what I've heard from their family, their communities. I'm serving in this community because I want to make sure that there are pathways, multiple pathways, for people in our community to get a degree, get an education that helps them succeed in the real world. And the other reason I'm grateful to be on this committee is because I remember what happened to our students, to higher education, during difficult budget times in the past. Under Governor Pawlenty, with big budget deficits, we saw huge cuts to higher education, and tuition at our public colleges and institutions doubled in that time. And now Minnesota has some of the highest tuition costs of our peer states around us. And so facing a difficult budget time, I'm excited to be on this committee and to do all we can to make sure that our students are front and center and that our institutions have the resources they need in this challenging time. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We are going to move on to Representative Keeler, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm really excited to be here. Higher ed is something that is really a passion of mine, but it carries a lot of emotions. I feel like my education journey has been like a connect the dots type of a game. Coming out of K-12, I was always told that I wasn't meant to go to college, like just go get a job, kind of do your thing in the world, like this wasn't a space for you. So my first journey was I went to Southwest State down in Marshall, Minnesota for a semester. Ended up on academic probation just because I believed all those messages that were given to me in K-12, went out to the world. And as many of you have talked about the importance of our two-year programs, I actually earned my associate's in marketing in 2014. And I felt like I had made it, that was it. I achieved something really great, went out and worked in the world. And I realized that there were a lot of decisions that were being made for me and for students who had similar experiences as me. And so I worked in Indian education for a long time, and one of my biggest goals there was to fit into the world's best workforce in college and career readiness with our students. And so I come in with a lot of different lenses. One as a job, I help students, I heard students and families and their barriers getting into higher ed. But Representative Daniels, I think you said your wife went back to school in her mid-30s, and I did the same thing. I was, you know, kind of considered and tagged like an older than average college student. And Rep Albright, go Dragons, I went to MSUM. I got my undergrad in project management, and it was actually the first time in my whole entire life in an education setting that I actually knew that I was smart. And it was because I was surrounded by support systems. So when we talk about higher ed, it's more than just the academic piece that we learn. It's really about the support. If it wasn't for the state programming, like the daycare grant program, because I am a mom, that I needed that help to go to school. I was working full-time, going to school full-time, but also the Minnesota Indian Scholarship really were the things that helped me thrive. And so while I was at MSUM, one of my professors just kind of told me I was going to move on and get my master's degree, which was something that was like completely out of the realm for me. And so I just said, okay, I mean, I guess that's what I'm going to do. And so then I moved on and got my master's degree in educational leadership, because I wanted to be at the tables where we had conversations around education equity. And so my practicum work was doing talking circles in my community, talking about the barriers to education. And at the time, it really sparked me to want to get involved, and I was going to run for school board. And lo and behold, here I am a year later. And so that's kind of my personal journey with education, but also I work in higher ed. I'm an assistant director for multicultural recruitment. I help create those bridges so that education is an opportunity for everybody and not just a privilege for some. I think a lot of us really need to look at ways that we, you know, invest in our next generations and that we work together to make sure that we're more inclusive in the ways that we do our outreach. I really appreciate all of you sharing your stories. Education is so powerful to all of us. And to any of the public that's watching, we see you. This is an opportunity, and make sure that education is always a lifelong learning option for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. Our next one is one of our senior members on the committee, and that would be Representative Gleeworth.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. This is such a great exercise. It's amazing to see the incredible talent that is present at this table. I want to say, for me, education is a zigzag, right? It's a zigzag path. There is no one perfect route for anybody. I started off my personal education as a trade school student, and I worked for 3 years. And what I realized, and I just love what Representative Keeler just said, I realized I was smart. It was like one day, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm smart. But what I realized is that, yeah, I was smart, but it was like seeing an airplane without having a ticket. I couldn't get on the ride. So I had to go back to school and get a bachelor's degree. That was the way that I was going to make my move and to move up in the world. And so that's what I did. I'm the first and only of my siblings to go to college. And that path that I took and higher education allowed our family to live not just in the United States, but also in Europe and also in Latin America. And I did a lot of civil rights and human rights work in Latin America, which opened my eyes to so many differences. When you really live in a culture that is outside of your own for a substantial period of time, you see that there aren't rights and wrongs, different. And so to Representative O'Neill, I agree. Everybody has the right to dignity no matter what they do. And I just think that's great. But what higher education is it's an investment in our people, and it's an investment in our state for them to create the best person that they can be. And that's what I love about serving on this committee. We see all of the hopes and dreams for the future before us. And our universities and colleges provide that opportunity for our students. And our responsibility is to figure out how we help them be these individuals and institutions, the idea generators for our state, the innovative engines for our state to help us have those strong economies and personal fulfillment that we all want. And in listening to these stories, I debated about saying this or not, but I am so proud of my family. I have 3 children who have 3 partners and 3 spouses' partners. And with that group, what the belief in higher education has done for my family. We have a PhD in immunology, a PhD in genetics, a PhD in food science. We have a master's degree in urban planning. We have a master's degree in IT, and we have a PhD candidate in IT. I mean, it's incredible the conversations that we are able to have at our table at holidays to help solve world problems. And that is all because of the value and benefit of higher education. And I never thought that I would say, I am so proud that I am the least educated in my family because my children have gone on and been able to do better things than I. And it's a gift. Higher education is a gift, whether it's starting in the trades, it's about stackable certificates and allowing people to create their own destiny through the institutions that we build. Thank you.
Chair Bernardi. Yeah. Sorry, I was on mute. And now we'll go on to Representative Kosnick. Welcome to the committee.
Hi, welcome.
And thank you, Representative Claiborne. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's great to be on another committee with you. Used to seeing you more on transportation, and for others that are watching, this is my first time on higher education, but I've spent all of my four terms on transportation, a little bit on taxes, metro governance. So I'm looking forward to this committee. I represent the city, most of the city of Lakeville, about 75-80% of the city, and no other cities are within my district. So about 25 miles south of here, for those that don't know. So it's a metro district. A lot of my constituents may attend Dakota County Technical College, Ember Hills Community College, a lot of Normandale, and then of course a lot of the other state colleges and universities throughout the state. But I'm looking forward to this. I think having a skill or an education is the key and a great equalizer to anybody being able to achieve the American dream. And so I know I went to St. Cloud State. I just didn't happen to have a zip up today, but felt it was appropriate to wear my U of M one today. I attended and grew up in Anoka, graduated from Anoka High School, and I have a master's degree, a marketing degree from St. Cloud State University. And so I'm looking forward to being on the committee and seeing how we education, the delivery of education is transforming. COVID is going to enhance maybe some delivery methods and learning more about that. But as a father of a seventh grader and a ninth grader, I'm looking forward to seeing what and learning more through this committee, what some of their future options might be, and contributing to the committee and making sure that we provide people the workforce opportunities that our economy demands, and we can match those skill sets with what we're teaching at our colleges and universities. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Now we will go on to Representative Mason. Welcome to the committee. We do have a lot of transpo people here, it looks like.
Thank you, Chair. Trying to figure out, education is incredibly important to me, and maybe give you some background. All my grandparents came from what is now Czechoslovakia. My mother only went to eighth grade. My father only graduated from high school, wanted to be a doctor. And actually I was just pulled out his chemistry book, but he never made it to college. He worked two jobs most of his life. Sorry. But both my sister and I made it through college. And I was I was really fortunate. I did well. And when I wasn't sure what to do after high school, I had a really good counselor and who pushed me into, I ended up majoring in political science, but I only applied to one college. I went to a Lutheran church, and there was a visitation one weekend, and I went down there really impressed. It was Valparaiso University. And I was, I applied, I got a scholarship, I got work. My parents helped me, so I was able to make it through. But the fact that It's the fact that you need to have somebody help you. You need to have somebody pushing you. And we have so, you know, that's why I think we try to make it so, you know, at least help people to make it through, even if they don't have the family background to provide the support. I mean, it's, that to me is one of the most important things that we do as legislators, is to make it possible for people to get to college, even if their families don't have the wherewithal. My grandfather never really spoke. I can't remember him even speaking total English. Usually he was a Bohemian and English mixture. So, I mean, it's, things have changed so drastically. But in today's culture, I mean, education is important. It doesn't make, and at this point, as somebody had pointed out, you don't need a four-year degree in maybe literature or something. But normally, even if you're going to do a profession, whether it's plumbing or electric, being an electrician, I mean, it's more than you can get in just high school. And those are things that we as state legislators need to make it more important that anybody can get the education that their particular talents decree. And I know, like in my school district, they do make it possible for kids. You don't have to go for 4 years. You can end up being a welder. You can be doing things. So those are things that I think are important for us to be pushing forward. And as I said, it's providing the support is really important, particularly for kids that may not have the family background to provide the support that some of us were very lucky to have. Those are the things that I think are important. And I know I would have been heartbroken if I couldn't go to college. I mean, I spent my life reading. I mean, and to think about what would you have done if I didn't have that opportunity. And as I said, it's, education opens opportunities of all sorts with that, whatever your talents are. So that's my story.
Thank you, Representative Mason. Next, we will go to Representative Meckland. Welcome to the committee.
All right, so I'm gonna turn my video on here. This is actually kind of a really interesting thing. I didn't see myself being put on this committee, as I never went to college. And my parents came from, and so much so that I never went to not only college, but I had to work to not only help me, but help them. So it's telling my internet's connection stable. But literally supported my parents for 17 years, and I did it all on my own. It's not, that's a bad thing. I learned a lot through that process. And failure is not an option. It is what it is, and you have to just go. While I do agree, education is very important. However, I've learned so much from so many people that have taught me things and gave me tools to understand how to actually accomplish the simple things in life that makes us provide for not only our families, but immediate family, but our extended family. And I think there's a big conversation here that has to happen. I put one kid through college so far. I got another one coming. Good Lord, I don't know what that's going to cost. By the way, Marion, the one I put through was a beaver. He went to Bemidji. So I had to put that out there. Just saying. And he's doing well. You know, in his career path was kind of a different thing. I don't know. When he came back, he didn't even know what the job paid. And I was like dumbfounded after 4.5 years. You don't even know what this job's worth? So, you know, we all have different opinions of how we come at this. But what I do know is if you have drive and you have energy and you really want to put yourself into it, you can do it and you can make something for yourself. So I think that's the point where we have to get to of encouraging each individual to find their own individual thing, that what's best for them and not just what's best for higher ed or whatever. It's what's best for them. And this four-year thing, while if you want to be a doctor, absolutely, or a lawyer, I don't disagree. However, being a trade guy is not a bad thing. I mean, heck, some of us done pretty darn well. And I think we can, continue to push that. I know people that, like never went to any kind of school. They simply clear drains for toilets, and they make six figures plus. So I think we actually have to look at the individual and not just have a blanketed policy on this whole thing. So, I'm sorry. I'm Representative Shane Mecklen. I represent District 15B, which is Sherburne and Benton County, and a little bit of Morris, a little bit of Wright. So I forgot that part at the beginning. Anyway, I'm hoping I'm done sooner than.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Now we're on to Representative Noor. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mahmoud Noor. I represent District 60B. That is the neighborhood surrounding the entire University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. I'm excited to be here because sometimes I usually tell folks I kind of represent everyone in the state when everyone comes to the Twin Cities University of Minnesota because it's in my district. And quite frankly, in terms of my background and experience, arriving here as a young person, my parents told me, you can get to work and earn enough income, but you can also choose the path of going to gain skills and go to higher education, and no one will ever take away the skills that you have gained in life. Because that's how you can thrive in the future. And reflecting back, as I struggled going to college, I started with Minn State MCTC. And then knowing that working two jobs, trying to pay just the regular tuition has been a struggle. You know, sometimes I will, take classes in some of the colleges that I've gone to, graduated from Metropolitan State University in St. Paul. I'll find myself the only Black person sitting in the classroom, taking computer science degree so that I can help myself. I consider myself to be lucky because I had that opportunity, but luck should never determine our future, because we know if we give people the tools that they need, if we give people the opportunity, the possibilities are enormous. I know those are things that every parent dreams for their kids. As a parent myself with four young kids, I keep thinking about how am I going to afford to get them to college if they decide to go to college. I'm still paying for my own college tuition, like many of you, because that's something that I believed in. And I think on a bigger question that we need to ask ourselves, how do we give each and every student an opportunity to afford college and have access to better opportunities? We can unlock those dreams for those young people who are dreaming today, because their dream can be realized with simple help. Let's look into how we can thrive together as a state. As we look into the future, things are changing. The economy is changing. As the chair for workforce and business development, I look towards higher education to open the possibilities for individuals through different pathways, skills that can be earned while you're sitting at home, or you can do different paths to help people earn sustainable income so they can support their families, put a roof over their head, pay for their rent, and be able to put food at the table. So Madam Chair and my colleagues, we have got an enormous challenge in front of us, and we need to seize the moment to do better for all so that we can thrive together. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Noor. Now we're going to go to Representative Sandel. Welcome to the Representative, yeah, he's up there. I see him. He's off mute now. Welcome. Oh, shucks. Am I the only one who can't hear him?
No, I think he's got technical difficulties with his mic.
Representative Sandel, we cannot hear you. Do you want to troubleshoot that, and we'll go to Representative Sandsted and then come back to you? Is that okay? I think that's what we will do. Sorry about that, Representative Sandel. Okay, so now we're going to go to Representative. Oh, yeah, we can now. Yes, we can. Go ahead. We could hear you. Oh, shucks. Okay. You're still on mute. There you go. Try it. Oh, it's toggling back and forth.
Madam Chair, I think he's muted.
Okay.
He's muted.
Okay. So we'll come back to him if we can. We'll come back to him at the end. Representative Sandsted, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's wonderful to be part of this committee. I am definitely passionate about education, E14. And I didn't really even realize why it became so important to me, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself. I come from a family of seven children, and both my parents never had an education beyond high school, not a formal education beyond high school. No, not to brag, but I think I had two of the most incredibly intelligent human beings to call as my parents. My father had quite a bit of training through the military. He did some time with the Army and was highly intelligent. He worked with Wernher von Braun on the V-2 rocket. He was part of the Greatest Generation. And when he was done with his time in the service, he came back and raised his family. And that is what my parents did for their entire lifetime. 20 years from oldest to youngest spanned quite a time for them. And my father made a very, very humble living. And my mother spent her time raising us traditionally and having to supplement that income through sewing in the home and doing, you know, different kinds of domestic opportunities, basically, to help make ends meet. And I am grateful that we always had enough. We always had a roof over our head. We always had food, and we always were clothed. Now, as being at the tail end of that string of children, I'm highly familiar with hand-me-downs. And, you know, we worked hard. We were a hardworking family. And I learned through all of that the value of hard work. But I also thought, as I got older, about the opportunities that my parents may have had, had they had the opportunity for some type of ongoing education, higher education, they might not have had to have worked as hard and maybe could have had some time at the end of their lives to enjoy themselves a little more comfortably. That wasn't their story. And I decided I hope to make it a different story for myself and certainly for my children. So before I go any further, I represent District 6A, which is a great part of the Iron Range. I live in Hibbing, and we have community colleges in my area. I'm a mother of three. I'm in my 27th year of K-12 public school teaching. So this, like I mentioned, is very, very important to me. I earned my bachelor's of education I started out with the University of Minnesota and ended up graduating from the College of St. Scholastica. And probably halfway through my career, decided it was time to challenge myself some more. And I went back, I earned my master's, and I now have that in curriculum and instruction. And it was an applied research program, which was wonderful because it really forced you to disseminate the information before you and figure out what was quality, reputable, and or not. And certainly there is a wealth of information you'll find out in this job that comes at you. Not all of it is great. But that is really an important thing for me. And as I raise my own children, I continually am trying to teach them and encourage them. I don't care if it's a four-year degree, a two-year degree, but they do need some type of, I encourage them to find a pathway for some type of higher education experience because it is a toolbox or a tool in the toolbox of life. And in the area that I represent, we are hurting for technical degrees, not four-year degrees, but we need laborer type of jobs. And those are things that people should never be afraid, you know, to go after. There is a balance to be had between two-year, four-year. But we are all, I think, better when we can get into a situation where we can see the lives of others. And that is an opportunity that comes through these experiences. We're too often sheltered by our own experience, our own circumstances, and education is a ticket to the future. It does open the door. And I'm happy to be part of this committee. I look forward to the work, and I wish us all the best as we move forward.
Thank you, Representative Sandstedt. Now we're going to go to Representative Thompson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair, for having me today. I represent Senate Districts, House District 67A, which covers the east side of St. Paul, Minnesota. Ironically, I came to St. Paul as a high school student. I thought I would be the next Dennis Rodman or someone who played, you know, basketball pretty good. But my mother had a different path for me. She wanted me to play the tuba. So this tuba I complained about. I complained a lot about this tuba that my mom made me play. And he's a 6'3" black athlete. I'm walking around the only nerd in school with this tuba that I complained about. I have to play this tuba. If you ever heard someone don't know how to play the tuba in their garage, it's hard. But I became pretty good, nevertheless, at playing the tuba. I started having to go to the the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, listen to and mentored. The same tuba I complained about brought me to the state of Minnesota, to Duluth, Minnesota, where it was a total culture shock coming from Chicago, predominantly black neighborhood, to Duluth, Minnesota. It was a total culture shock for me. I really realized that Chicago public schools did not prepare me for college. So I partied from Duluth to Superior, Wisconsin every day. So I pretty much partied. Until my mother came and snatched me out of school. She said I was occupying space for somebody who really wanted to learn. It was going to get somebody pregnant here is what she said. And so she sent me to Central State University in Xenia, Ohio, where I didn't know anybody. And I had my first son, nevertheless. I had to leave college. I had to leave, and I wound up taking a trade with the Vickers School of Hydraulics and Pneumatics. I got very proficient in steam engines, gears, hydraulics, pinions, and lo and behold, 20-something years later, I've been a machinist. I worked in Cicero, Illinois, at a steel foundry as an industrial machinist. And for the past 11 years, I've worked for St. Paul Public Schools as a machinist slash equipment repair technician. Made pretty decent money, man. I mean, about $80,000 a year. And my brother, he stayed his path, and he got his college degree, and he's still paying his college debt off right now. So I always smash that in his face. But nevertheless, I do know people who have four-year degrees, and they're no longer, they just have a lambskin, but they're not working in the field. But they still nevertheless have debt that they have to pay. I do realize that we have taken these options off the table for a lot of people who look just like me, career pathways. And then what happens is we wonder why we gather in front of the liquor store around in the areas of St. Paul with no skills, no jobs, looking for government benefits to help us out, because a lot of the options have been taken off the table for us. And nevertheless, college was not an option for a lot of families. College wasn't an option because we didn't get a degree. We didn't get a scholarship. And our parents sure enough couldn't afford college. I did hear a couple of things that, and I just was taking notes, but it seemed like so long. But these pathways definitely were one of the main reasons why I was excited to be here in this committee here. And also, just to show how it causes a financial hardship after college. I mean, what's good having a four-year degree if you're spending half of your salary paying off your student debt? And then you can't find a job with the lambskin that you have, because nobody wants to hire somebody fresh out of college. You need to have something under your belt. Like, this is things that people didn't tell us, going to college. And these are real problems that happen in our community. I heard someone say that we need to focus on not only college, but some of these kids want to fix snowmobiles, which is true. I mean, in my 12-year tenure working with the district, I know a lot of kids who are fidgeting their thumbs in these classrooms, not only in high school, but in some of these college classes. They're not interested in the curriculum being taught. They just want a lambskin, because they think they have this dream that they're going to get this good paying job right out of college. And they get out of college and realize that the only thing that they probably could do is change oil at Jiffy Lube, with a college degree. I know some of my good friends has a degree in mortuary science. He's very good at doing facial reconstruction, and this was what she wanted to do. And when she graduated, she found out that there wasn't a funeral home on this earth that would hire minority female, because all these funeral homes are family owned. So she has a degree here, but nevertheless she's a school teacher now. So we pay all this money for these degrees, and it's just a piece of paper. I also know people with 4-year degrees and stupid. I mean, they have these degrees and they don't even have common sense, let alone good sense. They don't even have common sense. Yeah, education, what my mom used to call it, educated fool is what my mom used to call these educated fools. They're dumber than a box of rocks, but they have a lambskin nevertheless. I'll go on. I heard Albright say, and Albright, thank you, Representative Albright. I'm definitely a Chicago Blackhawks fan, and Wayne Gretzky is definitely someone who motivates me. And so I did hear what you said about Wayne Gretzky. And I'll tell you this, what my mom shared with me, my mom passed 6 years ago, but she was one of the most, she's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I'll go and I'll say, my mom said to me, you can be a plumber, you can be a janitor, you can be the person that scoops up horse mess in the farm. Just be the best that you can be. And before you know it, you'll be the supervisor. Before you know it, you'll be the manager. And before you know it, you'll be the owner. And so I'm just interested in like creating pathways, career pathways, and not just a 4-year degree. You have a 4-year lambskin and nothing but debt behind that. so I move.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Now we are upon the end of our committee, and I am wondering if Representative Sendell would be okay with me, or him and I doing the sharing ours the next time. Is that okay with you, Representative Sendell? I'm trying to see if I can. Thumbs up?
It'd be an honor, Chair Bernardi, to share the agenda with you.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, thank you, members. I hope you found that as interesting as I did. You have amazing lives and amazing families, and thank you for sharing your stories, the commonality that we have, and it would be nice to reflect on that together in the future. So I just want to say tomorrow we will be having our nonpartisan staff overview, and Representative Sendell and I will share our higher ed stories. So the suspense, stay tuned. And then next week we'll have the Office of Higher Education, and then we'll have an introduction to our students group and student testimony on their current experiences with higher education. So thank you, members, and welcome to the committee. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.